Put on your listening ears, children, because it's time for the Oklahoma Today podcast. We are back live, recorded on a series of ones and zeros at the Vault 405 in downtown Edmond for your listening pleasure. This week, we've got the fabulously talented and the talently fabulous singer-songwriter Casey Clifford in the studio with us.
Hey!
Welcome, Casey.
Hello.
And before we get to that, so sorry. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
Yay!
Yes.
For the MIO Coalition.
Yes.
Yeah, we love them.
I remember when they got created.
Really?
Back in the Irma's day, like the early Irma's days.
Oh, yeah, because you were working
with
at Irma's
name,
then.
And we were using all sorts of made, like, and it was like we were, Kurt was like helping them and.
You were there when the Made in Oklahoma Coalition was made in Oklahoma.
I feel like I was, or I was at least adjacent to that whole situation.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. We know you so well, and I'm sure our listeners do, except for one, and I'm going to call him Steven. Steven, this is for you. Casey, introduce yourself.
Hi, Steven. I'm Casey, and I am, I feel like I'm a lot of things most days, but for our purposes here, I'm a songwriter and singer and storyteller. I'm also these days an essayist and writer, and I love Oklahoma. I'm from here, born and raised. And
yeah, this is actually a cool thing because you've got some really cool roots here in Oklahoma. Like
I do, deep. Roots. Yeah, like, complicated, twisted roots, but
yeah. So your people came here in the land run.
They did. Yeah. Yep, on both sides. Yeah. And I have a ton of history and my both sides of my family are interesting, but my great grandparents on my dad's side really were kind of part of the founding of Oklahoma City, and he helped found First National Bank and really old, like stuff that's in Boomtown, like the 5 o'clock tea club, and like that was at my great grandmother's table.
Huh. Oh wow!
My mom has all the linens and all the like for all the china and stuff from that time, and I have lots of deep. I love Oklahoma. Lots of deep roots.
Yeah, and Oklahoma is very present in your music too.
Yeah, it has, especially in the record I released before this one, before my new one that's coming out. But it was very much inspired by Oklahoma and history, and there's a lot of red dirt in what I do.
Yeah, and there was a great when the Ken Burns documentary was on, we got to hear a great story of your dad's band from Vince Gill.
Yep, Mountain Smoke. He was in two of the eight. Episodes or whatever, I guess. So that was big doings.
Yeah.
I resisted the urge to post about my dad on every single post that someone put on Facebook. Like, oh my God, my dad was in that. Like, I was like,
But
I was actually at my dad's office when Ken Burns' people called like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, and he came in and he was like, do you know who Ken Burns is? And I'm like, yes, Dad, do you?
How do you not?
Like, right, yeah. I know.
I don't know about everybody else. When I was at the hospital and I was presented my son, freshly born, the doctor came over and he said, congratulations, you're a father. Also, here is Ken Burns' Civil War documentary. Uh-huh. And it was just, it's like, it's on this TV, is part of being a dad, is you have to watch Ken Burns stuff.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really surprised your dad got around this.
They licensed his music for it and all that, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a little cool.
Got to hear the story of them opening for Kiss here in Oklahoma City, which was crazy.
It's very weird being my dad's daughter, like, because I've grown up with these, like, he's played on the White House lawn for multiple presidents, like, he's, like, Kiss, like, I Dream of Jeannie Lady was at a party at our house when I was in grade school, Barbara Eden, and I was like, yeah, that's just... I dream of Jeannie lady. Like
it's what just Aunt Jeannie.
This is just how it is being Hal's daughter. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you've become a very successful musician on your own, and you've got a new album you're getting ready to release. This is exciting.
I do. It's a big, big deal in my little world. But it's a big deal for me. It's my first big push back out into the world of music since I had my kids 8 years ago. And it feels like I fought for every minute of this, like, you know, in between school pickups and making snacks and getting the preschool snack reminder the night before and going, but I'm at the recording studio. I'll figure that out.
Right.
You know,
it's really hard to make Ants on a Log while you are strumming a guitar. That's something they don't tell you, but they ought to.
It is. Yeah. And I'm totally the mom at preschool who's like at Homeland right before. Like, I'm like coming in with the bags all disheveled. Like, here's your stuff. No, it's not washed and cut. My child needs to learn how to wash and cut fruit. So if you could please just give him a knife.
It's just dirt. It's probably good for him.
Immunities.
Yeah. But it's a self-titled album.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's my seventh album, and I self-titled. Evidently, it took seven of them to feel like it was time. Mm-hmm. And it's the most me thing I've ever done. Like, I feel like it just really – one thing motherhood did for me was I just kind of threw off everybody else's expectations and decided to just stand in my own thing. And I just decided to sing like I've always wanted to sing and stop trying to adhere to some sound or genre or mm-hmm. idea of what I was supposed to be and just decide to be who I was. And it's co-written with my friend Dan Walker on keys, which is also makes it a bit of a different thing. So it's a piano-based record instead of guitar, which took a little bit of the dirt out of it. Not the dirty knives,
yes.
But the red dirt out of it. So it's just a really different thing, and I'm so proud of it, if I'm allowed to say that. Like, I just
definitely,
well, of course,
really proud of the work on it, and I feel excited now that it's finally getting out in the world. Like, people are, like, my Kickstarter backers just got, and we're still, my dining room is covered in Kickstarter mailings, but they just got all their stuff, and so people are really hearing it for the first time, and I'm just getting that initial feedback of. And nobody's emailing me who hates it, so that's good. Y'all can just keep it to yourselves. I have fragile emotions. So.
Well, I don't know if it's weird to say, but we're very proud of you as well. Like we know you. I've known you for years, and honestly, through Nate and through your husband David. And
it's worth mentioning for readers and for journalist integrity. Casey's my good friend and her husband, and I love her kids and. Yeah, so
this
is all just old home week in here
today. One of our earlier guests a couple of weeks ago was the Santa Claus who was at the
at
your
Dan.
Daughter's party.
Yeah.
So everything's interconnected. But having heard your music over the years, and I don't necessarily know that I would call it the evolution of your music, but I have long felt a deep sense of pride knowing you and feeling like I know the world that you're singing about and the world that you have brought into other people's lives with your music. Mm-hmm. So I'm so thrilled that you're here talking with us today.
Thank you. You remain my most favorite quote about my music ever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A great blurb. What was it?
Do you remember what it was?
I do.
I think it was something about being upset that you made me feel things.
Feel ways about stuff.
Ways about stuff, yes.
Well, and you preface it by saying something like, I'm basically a robot, and Casey Clifford made me feel ways about stuff.
Yep, that is.
I've actually put that in a bio before.
Yes. One of my friends, the robots from Westworld, said this about my music. That's me.
But that's one of the great things about, because you and I became friends because I was a fan of your music originally, and I met you at shows and stuff, and it's just, there's always something that hits home with your music because it's honest and it's real and it's accessible, you know, and it does. It makes you, it hits you right in the feels,
well,
you know, and it's a very good thing in a really good way.
Thank you. You know, I've realized I'm in my mid-40s now. I'm 45 proudly and not ashamed of my age, but I have somewhere over the last few years realized that feelings are indeed my superpower. Mm-hmm. And so helping other people navigate their feelings and trying to put some language around things that are really hard to say or understand within ourselves, that's actually what I love doing the most. And yeah. So I love, you know, that kind of feedback, hearing that people, you know, that it awakened something emotionally in them. That's mm-hmm. what else could you want, you know, than to move people?
Absolutely. And so this, you talked about this being a little bit of a different sound for you and a little bit of a different record and a little bit of a different process. So what have been some of the ones, as you've sort of worked some of this material out live, what have been some of the ones that you've really enjoyed, like you just look forward to in your set from this new record?
Well, I feel like I'm still kind of taking them all out for a drive. but No More Living Small has to be the really the seminal piece on the record for me, just the cornerstone of the whole thing. It's a song about empowerment. It's a song about finding my voice. It's a song about choosing finally at 45 to say that I have the right to take up space and that I don't have to ask permission for anybody for it. And that song to me has the most juice in it when I'm singing it. Yeah. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat, but that song is really still remains powerful for me personally. So those are always the ones that I like to perform, the ones that I feel like are still teaching me. I learn a lot through my songs, through the singing of my songs, and because I'm not a robot when I'm up there, you know, I'm actually really engaging my own content, my own emotional landscape, which I hope translates, you know, to an audience. And I hope that, I think the difference between a typical fan and a Casey Clifford fan is that my true fans are people who, the real generous friends are the ones who engage their own emotional process, who realize the universality of our humanity, of our pain, of our struggles, that, you know, we live in a time of extreme discord, but we have so much more in common than we do our differences if you break us down to the smallest parts of pain and grief and hope and joy, and all of those things are similar within us. And so I hope that people will engage those things as well.
Yeah, and you, that's a recurring theme on the record. It's kind of these times that we live in and how we get through them together.
It is. And I think I wrote my way through it myself, right? Like, you know, one of the first songs, we wrote Salt several years ago. And then one of the first songs other than Salt that was written was Call of Love. And it was during the Aleppo refugee crisis when people were washing up on shores, children, up, you know, dead babies on beaches who weren't cared for or welcomed, and kind of the international immigration refugee kind of conversation was heightened in a new way. And so really it's just my own walking through my own, like, I'm a white woman living in privilege in America, and these things are coming across my screen every day. And what am I doing? How do I, you know, I read this piece by Glennon Doyle, and she said, if you wonder where you, it's really easy to look back on the Holocaust or civil rights and say, oh, I would have marched, or I would have done the thing. And should, the thing that you would have done is the thing that you are doing now. Like, if you want to know where you would have been 50 years ago, look where you are now. And that's the history that's being made now. That is where you would have been.
Yeah.
And so it challenged me, you know, it's like my own, like, whoa, okay, what am I doing? How can I? And then I realized somewhere, because I was a little bit afraid to write songs like that, and I realized, oh, I have a platform, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that is actually what I've been given. I can use my voice to raise these questions and to raise the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I've always felt, and part of this, I think, is because you are a singer-songwriter the lyrics play such a prominent part in your music, that really what you do for me and for so many other listeners is that you allow us to access some of those emotions that we may have hidden away, that we may have, you know, put to the side because they're not convenient or because they're not always welcome. But listening to your music and the decoding kind of what you're saying to understand it makes you then realize, like, oh, now I can understand this, these feelings, these emotions that I have, you know, not necessarily understood about myself. That's the, and that's why I, you know, said the thing about making me feel ways about stuff is because listening to you sing, got such a gorgeous voice, but frankly, you're, it's the gorgeous mind that has made these words that really do, they challenge what you're thinking about. And in doing that, I feel like it opens up so much about the listener. And that's why you've made such a great connection with me anyway, and why I feel like you have so many of those generous friends who feel that when they listen to what you sing. So
that's a high compliment.
That's great. It's means a lot. It's like a, there's always a, that group therapy feeling to your show, you know, in a really good way. You know, you come away from it feeling like, okay.
Yeah. Like, I had someone say this year as I was preparing the thoughts about launching this record into the world and how I was going to do it. And she was like, oh, and she's not, she doesn't live here. She's never seen me perform. She's heard my music, but she was like, you are a we with your fans. Like, it's a, there's a we pronoun. Mm-hmm. It's not you and me. It's not just this person on stage doing the thing and look at me, like you actually have created community around what you do. And that was totally by accident. Like, I wasn't like, I will set out and, like, but I realized that what I really wanted the world to know was that I think we are all in this together.
Yeah.
Like, and I want people to walk away feeling less alone in their lives.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I'm glad that it means so much to have this conversation with people who've been listening a long time and who can say, that's what you're doing. Like, that's really meaningful to me.
It's exciting. And you listeners, you can experience this for yourselves coming up really soon. You've got a record release show coming up.
I do. It's a big deal at the Tower. That place has a lot of seats.
Yes. Did
you? Yes. Oklahoma City's Tower Theater. It's a great place to see a show.
It is. Yeah. And when Dan Walker and I started talking about the record 2 years ago, I said, do you think maybe like the Tower would let me come play there? Like, do you think I could do a release there? Because the Blue Door is my home here. Yeah. And Greg has been so good to me. But I was like, just once, like, I just want to blow it out. Like, and I can tell you that there is a gospel choir. There is a string component. Mr. John Fulbright sitting in on my band on Hammond organ.
Awesome.
So Dan's flying in. And, of course, Dan is now the keyboard player for Heart. Like, Raul Alfonso's coming in from LA to play bass. I mean, it's going to be a really, really fun show. Like, it's the biggest show I've ever put together. I'm feeling that.
And this is a woman who once opened for Flock of Seagulls, might
truly
I just say.
I did. Yeah. I did. That happened. Oh, my gosh.
And this is even bigger.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's funny. But, yes, so Saturday, January 25th at the Tower, tickets are on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a really fun night. I'm going to bring it.
Oh, I can't wait.
My heart and the full weight of all these songs with
me. I can't wait.
So.
And I'm excited about John Fulbright sitting in mostly for your daughter's
behalf
because Casey's daughter, Beatrice, is probably the biggest John Fulbright fan on earth.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
She asked to have a John Fulbright birthday party.
She did?
That's
awesome.
Yeah. And one of my friends was like, I'll get plates with his face on them if you just let John send me a picture. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. John never weighed in on that. I was like, he's probably on the other side of the internet mortified. But yeah, B was like, I just want to sing. And her favorite song is Satan and St. Paul, which might mean that I'm a terrible parent, but it is what it is. But yeah, she's been singing John Fulbright songs from the car seat
for
a good 5 years now.
I'll never forget, we went to see him at Guthrie Green, and she had the LP, and she just stood there the whole concert just holding it up.
She did like Lloyd Dobler like with the boombox with her John Fulbright.
That's exactly who she was, and it was wonderful.
She thinks it's the coolest thing. And of course, now she just met Joan Jett.
Yeah.
So we have, like, there's no birthday ever that's ever going to, like, she met Joan Jett for her birthday present. She got to meet her, got her record signed.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, got to go backstage. I was like, what? She's seven.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly?
Yeah. And this all came about, too, because of Dan, because Heart's on tour with Joan Jett.
Yes. Yeah, the backstage part. But actually, it's my old booking agent.
That's right.
Killer. Who set up the meet because she's friends with some of Joan's team. And Joan Jett is the kindest. She's a total badass, but she's the kindest individual. I mean, she was so tender with B and thoughtful and took a lot of time with her. Mm-hmm. And just, I cannot say enough about, I'm like, she's so like has that tough exterior, but mm-hmm. like really she was just a dear woman.
Doesn't sound much like a Blackheart to me, but whatever. <I'm> just, for people who want to go to your show, which is all of you. Do you hear me?
You should
all
go.
Of you.
Seriously, you should
go. TowerTheaterOKC.com. Tickets are available right now.
Yep.
Doors at 7, shows at 8, January 25th. Buy those tickets. And then also, people who want to listen to your entire catalog can go to kcclifford.com. Mm-hmm. KC, like Kansas City. One of my favorite things is always to call you Kansas City Clifford, like you're an Old West gunfighter. But kcclifford.com.
But for feelings.
But for, yes.
An Old West gunfighter.
An Old West gunfighter for feelings. Oh, my God. You know what? Let's name that next album right now. After the eponymous Casey Clifford, next one is Gunfighter for Feelings.
There you go. There you go.
But yes, kcclifford.com, and it's got everywhere you're playing. It's got a store where you can download the music, buy
cool
albums,
merch.
Great merch,
yeah.
All sorts of things. Yeah, everybody needs more Casey Clifford in their lives,
agreed.
Frankly.
This should be your number one New Year's resolution.
Yes.
If you want to go to a store and buy one of your albums, where is the best place to go?
To a store. Well, I'm hoping that Guest Room is going to carry the vinyl when the time comes for it to be released. So the actual record releases into the world February 7th.
Okay.
And so the January 25th show is ahead of that. But Guest Room's carried my stuff before in decades previous.
Yeah. Guest Room Records here in Oklahoma City.
Guest Room Records. But yeah, it'll be. And then other than that, it'll be on all the major places online.
Excellent.
Yeah. Your Spotify's, your Deezer's, your Google Music.
I have to tell you that pre-children, Spotify wasn't a thing. And so my Spotify is kind of a sad place. So if everybody wants to just go there and pity follow me on Spotify, that would be really helpful.
Okay.
Everybody did those year-end things where it was this is how many streams. I was like, I'm super not posting mine. But it's about to get good there. So
awesome.
Like, evidently there aren't a lot of feelings on Spotify or something. I don't know.
You know, there will be.
There are now.
There are now.
It's
sure.
Previously, it's only been Calvin Harris, and now it's going to be Calvin Harris and Casey Clifford, the feels duo.
That's right.
As far as
that's
I'm
right.
concerned.
Yeah.
And we do have Casey Clifford hankies now.
Oh, good. For the crying.
Yeah.
That happened. Yeah.
Yes.
That's perfect.
They
say, what an on-brand bit of merch that is.
Super. Yeah, that was Rob Krissinger. I have to say that was his idea.
Rob,
10 years ago, he said, Casey, you really, really, there are people crying everywhere in here. You really need handkerchiefs at your merch table.
That's
and
awesome.
And so, yeah, they say all the feelings. They're so awesome.
That's awesome.
They're so, and I'll have them
that's
at
awesome.
The tower.
Could I say this too? Your shows are fun.
Right.
Like there's laughing, like there's like you've got like it's just a great time. Like
thank you.
It's a great time.
Yeah. It you know, one thing that you mentioned earlier is singer, songwriter, and storyteller. And the storyteller thing I feel like gets left out a lot. But if you go to a Casey Clifford show, you are not just hearing music, you are hearing about it's like every show is a behind the music. You
seriously,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is so great. It just you connect so much more with the music when you understand everything that went into it. Mm-hmm. And not that it isn't great on its own, but if you enjoy taking it to kind of a deeper level, then mm-hmm. definitely you have to see Casey live.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. That's
thanks.
You're
for
welcome.
Sure. Yay. We're looking forward to it, and we're just
thanks
so excited.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's
thank you so much
thank
for joining
for
us today.
Thanks for having me,
friends. And just for our listeners' edification, we're going to take you guys out on a part of a cut from the new album. So this
absolutely.
Is
thank you guys for listening. And now we'll get into events.
Yeah.
On December 31st, it's the New Year's Eve powwow at the Muskogee Civic Center. Witness traditional Native American dancing. The powwow kicks off at 1 p.m. with gourd dancing until 5 p.m., followed by a supper break. Gourd dancing resumes at 6, and the grand entry begins at 7. Dance contests will be featured at the New Year's Eve powwow, including fancy dance, straight dance, jingle dance, and fancy shawl. Kids can also enter the Legacy Kids Art Contest. Head to the Muskogee Civic Center for the 18th annual powwow, and it's sure to be an exciting way to ring in 2020. Be sure to bring your own chairs. On December 31st, Danger Zone Bull Riding World Finals comes to the Claremore Expo Center. This is it's a great way to spend New Year's Eve, isn't it? The Claremore Expo Center will come to life with exciting bull riding competitions featuring the nation's top legends and young guns battling it out for cash prizes and awards. See a special miniature bucking bull event, as well as past, present, and future PBR stars as they show off their bull riding skills in Claremore. From December 31st through January 5th, visit Tulsa Performing Arts Center and experience the legendary musical Miss Saigon from the creators of Les Miserables. It's the story of Kim, a young Vietnamese woman orphaned by war and forced to work in a bar run by a notorious character known as the Engineer. There she falls in love with an American GI named Chris, but they're torn apart by the fall of Saigon. Kim embarks on an epic journey of survival to find her way back to Chris, who has no idea he's father to son. Featuring stunning spectacle and a sensational cast of 42 performing the soaring score, including Broadway hits like The Heat Is On in Saigon, Last Night of the World, and American Dream, this is a theatrical event you won't soon forget. On January 1st, going from drama to comedy, comedian Ron White is going to be at the Windstar World Casino in Thackerville. You might remember Ron from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour or many of his stand-up specials. The guy is just hilarious. It is going to be open to adults 18 and over because not really super kid-friendly. But the Windstar Global Event Center in Thackerville can seat up to 3,500, so expect a lot of people laughing along with you. From January 4th through the 5th, In Search of Eagles at Quartz Mountain Nature Park in Lone Wolf. You can embark on an eagle-watching adventure this winter. Join the park naturalist for an informative eagle presentation at the Group Camp Community Building, located across from the Quartz Mountain Grocery Store, and caravan to eagle-viewing locations around Lake Altus-Lugert. Guests are encouraged to bring binoculars and spotting scopes to see eagles coming and going from their roosting areas, usually an hour after sunrise and about an hour before sunset. On warm afternoons, the eagles can often be seen riding the thermals above Twin Peaks, Quartz Mountain, and Hicks Mountain. Eagles usually arrive at Quartz Mountain near the end of December and depart in early March as they roost in the tall cottonwoods found along the North Shore. On In Search of Eagles guided tours, children must be accompanied by an adult, and inclement weather will cancel the event, so just keep your eye on the forecast. Large groups may call for additional dates, and additional self-guided opportunities are available. Layers of clothing are suggested, as it often feels colder near the water. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. We really do enjoy talking to you every week. Thanks again to our sponsors at MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. And thank you guys just for being here. If you've got any questions for us or maybe you want us to cover a topic next time around, you can email us at oktpod@travelok.com. Go ahead and while you're at oklahomatoday.com, visit our subscription page and grab yourself a year's subscription to make sure you don't miss any issues. All that said, we hope to talk to you again next week. See you then.
Trying to please you, stepping aside, never finding out who I am. But I've realized it's no kind of life being old.